What would you say if you were asked for some sort of diagnostic symptoms or tendencies of what would characterize postmodern thought? What would you say?
I would go to the truth issue first. I mean, that's where the central channel in the river of postmodernism really is driven. It's the rejection of several things. Number one, the fact that truth is universal and absolute. The fact that truth is thus unchanging. The truth is knowable. And that language is capable of conveying truth. So, I mean, it's quite a comprehensive claim. They deconstruct the language, make it merely semiotics, and they deconstruct truth claims and make them only socially constructed and thus relative. And, all the rest of it's really decoration. That's the central thrust of what postmodernism is all about.
And there we're on a collision course with the New Testament understanding of truth, the biblical word aletheia. If we would examine it in all of its ramifications, one of its primary definitions is that which describes real states of affairs.
Right.
And that assumes that there is such a thing as a real state of affairs.
That's right.
It's reality.
Mm-hmm.
And postmodernism doesn't believe in real states of affair.
What are your thoughts on the emerging church or the emergent church, and what are its characteristics?
Here's the expert.
Well, let's do that quickly and say that it can mean many different things, actually. There's some that are emerging as a mood, which means they have a goatee and square glasses and light candles. And the main thrust, however, is the embrace of postmodernism, and that's why when you see most of it branded that way, you're really talking about a fairly self-conscious embrace of postmodernism, a rejection of what they see as the overly cognitive, countercultural kind of commitments of mainstream evangelicalism. They're talking about us. So they would go at this. And I would just simply put out a strong warning, and there's almost no way to put this in a tight little acorn of a summary that would be helpful, except to say the emergent brand is the hardline form of this, and it's represented by such persons as Brian McLaren, and you can read about him, who is right up front in terms of the fact that it's this relativistic understanding of truth. It's the rejection of the law of non-contradiction. I mean, his book, Generous Orthodoxy, he comes out saying you can be a Calvinist and an Arminian, you can be a Catholic and a Protestant, you can be, charismatic and a non-charismatic, and all these kind of chapter after chapter after chapter. And it's just this mood. And by the way, one of the websites that has to do with this is called The Ooze, and I can't think of a better thing to call it than The Ooze. It's like trying to go back to the primordial, Ravi was talking about, this, undifferentiated land and sea. That's kind of what they're looking for here. I think we need to be very, very careful about this, because today's liberals were evangelicals yesterday. And what we continually have are breakoffs in which people who are the sons and daughters of the ones who rejected the liberalism, bring it in a different way and in a new form. And just to be short, let me tell you that if you get the truth question wrong, you're going to be aberrant in every dimension of the life of your church and in your personal understanding of Christianity. And if we forego that, if we surrender that, if we come off the heights of that commitment, then I don't care what you're going to call it, emerging, emergent, or whatever, it's going to be a new form of liberalism in the church.
I think also it goes back to the question we had a little earlier about, is it impossible for us to be wrong, or so on. You wonder what's all contained in that question. Because in postmodern terms, wrong and right are not real categories. But people don't like Orthodox Christians because they want to reinsert those categories of right and wrong. And they get upset, just as Erasmus got upset with Luther for making assertions. They don't want any doctrinal assertions. And they get very uncomfortable when there's a creedal posture, when Christians make confessions of faith propositionally and say, here we stand, this is what we believe. the emergent church has a built-in allergy to that, don't you think, Al?
Yes.
You know, the Vance Havner, who had a very sharp wit with his one-liners.
And he wasn't emerging from anything.
No. He made the comment years and years ago when he was around. He said, when the tide is low, every shrimp has its own puddle. This is another one of those puddles. And it makes me wonder, very seriously, would these men and women who were the progenitors of it, were they bored with God? What brought this about? You know, what brought this methodology into a theology when you write a book like The Secret Message of Jesus? What? 2,000 years have gone by, now suddenly he's found the secret to it? We didn't know it. This is so bizarre. But, you know, the problem is that we've got non-critical people listening to this stuff, and they absorb it. When you read Brian McLaren, every chapter dies the death of 1,000 qualifications. You know, this is what, at the end of it, you wonder what he really believes. And maybe something on Monday, something else on Tuesday. He's an anti-doctrinizing individual, always postulating doctrine while he's anti-doctrinized. These are hard words, but it's pitiful to see something like this actually gain currency.
But it appeals to people, yes, in the church who don't want to have to deal with theological conflict.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get in a debate over Arminianism and Calvinism or over dispensationalism or covenant theology, because those arguments divide households as they divide churches, and so let's relativize doctrine. Here's the thing. If we disagree doctrinally, that's a bad thing, but we can't be satisfied with it. You know, because truth is too important to kill it in the streets for the sake of peace. You can't do it.
Yes.
I think one illustration to come back on this might actually help to concretize what we're talking about here. In Time magazine, Brian McLaren was asked the question, you know, what's your position on homosexuality? And he said, I'm reluctant to answer because whatever I say will offend someone.
That's right.
And that was the end of the answer, by the way. That was it.
That was it.
And then on the blog of Leadership magazine, Leadership Journal, which is published by Christianity Today, some time ago he suggested that we take a 5-year moratorium on talking about homosexuality. And then come back in 5 years and see if we still believe what we believe. Now, that is the essence of postmodernism. And that's almost like a parable, you know. As Jesus says, there once was a man who said, let's take a 5-year moratorium. You know, I'm talking about homosexuality. And I appreciate what one young pastor said to me. He said, if I have two homosexuals sitting in my office saying, what do I do now? I can't say, just whatever. Come back in 5 years and I'll have an answer for you. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. It is the abdication of Christian responsibility. And I want you to hear this. It is an abdication of Christian conviction and it is a cave-in of Christian courage. We do have an answer. And it's not like we don't know what it is.